With great power comes great responsibility. And coming to the ring, making their debut top 10 list match. This is Team No DQ.
Woo, baby. And this is our top 10 wrestlers, in our opinion. We're going to give our individual lists. Mm-hmm. 10, 10, 9, 9, 8, 8, 7, 7, 6, 6, 5, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Yeah, worst to the best. Granted, if you're any older than, I'd say, 30, you may agree with this list. You might not. Me, Adrian, 26. I'm 26, 24, 25. And, you know, we got a lot of people from the 2000s. Maybe some guys from the 90s. We haven't looked at each other's list, so this is brand new. We're shooting off the head. But, yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy our list. If you got any different ones, drop them in the comments. All
right.
Comment them on Twitter, NoDQPod, and tell us what you think. Who wants to go first?
You want to start off with honorable mentions?
Yeah, start off with honorable mentions. There's no reasoning behind my honorable mentions because there are honorable mentions. But I will give one a piece.
Okay.
First, Jeff Hardy, great high flyer. To me, that's pretty much it he has to offer. Roman Reigns.
Okay.
This was kind of a toss-up for me, but he's just now doing this thing. My list is a bunch of guys from, you know, 10-year-plus, 20-year-plus vets. And MJF, he's the hottest shit on the street right now.
Ooh.
That guy is – he's selling tickets at AEW.
Man,
already
started to crack top 10.
Yeah, he's a honorable mention. So that's my honorable mention list right there. Jeff, Roman Reigns, and MJF.
All right, my honorable mentions go as such. I get nervous. I'm nervous. Triple H.
Okay. I like it.
I just can't watch 35, 45-minute matches every night.
Right, right. That's why I didn't put him on my top 10 list. I'm just saying that.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
King of Strong Style. But as me and Tab discussed, we need to delve more into Japanese wrestling. So.
Yeah.
Like, I can't put him in my top 10 unless I watch his New Japan. Stuff in Japan. Yeah,
you're right.
And someone who used to be in my top 10, Rey Mysterio, has fallen into honorable mention territory.
Yeah, his later work, you could say, earned him. Yeah, honorable mention. Yeah.
Those are my honorable mentions. Do you want to start us off with number 10?
Yeah, I'll go number 10, man. I'll go number 10. Okay, some of you guys, you newer kids, don't criticize me on this. And I'm personally hitting myself on the back as well. But my first one, I'm sorry, Seth Rollins. Now listen.
Okay.
He's definitely up there. He's a newer guy, don't get me wrong, but if you've been following wrestling for a long time, you know he was Tyler Black. He worked on the indie scene for a while. He's on the one show, MTV, where he had like the cinematic feel with the exploding cages and shit. So, I mean, he's been around for a while, but WWE-wise, you know, he's relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the damn thing. Fucking Money in the Bank, United States, Intercontinental, WWE, he's done it fucking all. But as we get more and more into it, you know, can he get to those 10-time World Heavyweight Champion, 15-time World Heavyweight Champion, like the true GOATs are? And then I'll move him up the list. But he's definitely in my top 10 for sure. Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins did not make my top 10. And you know what? You said it, and I thought about it, and I'm like, I feel like he could have at least made my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Number 10, Kofi Kingston.
I like it.
Kofi Kingston. I've been a fan of Kofi Kingston since he had the Jamaican accent, since he was on ECW, and he used to, like, dude was kicking sand in someone's eyes, and Kofi would walk up and, like, beat the shit out of him and go, oh, no. There must be trouble in paradise. And I'd be like, all right. I don't know why, but I was like, this guy falling all the way through, doing multiple Intercontinental Champions, United States Championships, Tag Championships.
New Day.
New Day became the New Day. And then Kofi Mania. There are a few times I've been visually emotional during a win. When he won the WWE Championship, I was in awe. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Man is like a 14-year veteran, been around since 2006.
Yeah.
16 years.
Still in the game.
Still doing it. Still at a high work rate as well.
Yeah.
Some would say better than he was before.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Kofi Kingston, my number 10.
I hate to get all, like, you know, political and bring, you know, color and race into it, but we don't know how WWE is when it comes to black guys. Just being honest. And Kofi Kingston, like you said, when he won that championship, man, it was dope. You know, we haven't seen that since maybe The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, Booker T, he had it, but with his whole King Booker gimmick, you know what I mean? So it really wasn't, you know, a true feel to it. But when he won it, New Day by his side, he could, you know, be himself. You know what I mean? It was a short run, but he definitely deserved to win it. At least,
but compared to someone that you never think would hold it,
right?
Six months,
most definitely.
Never thought it'd happen.
Kofi Kingston, I like it. I like it. My number nine. You could swap this out. Like I said, Seth he's at the bottom right now, but just bear with me, people. Number nine, Brock Lesnar. Now, he's been around for a while. He came in with the Ruthless Aggression there with Paul Heyman. Comes in and fucking drops Spike Billy, I believe, on his head like six times with a power bomb. He's on my number nine because aggressive moveset. I love it. He can't run a promo for shit.
Not until recently.
But, yeah, not until recently. Couldn't run a promo for shit. But you felt his presence. You know what I mean? That music hit, the whole damn, he comes out.
He's an attraction.
He shit a brick. Like I just said, he's an attraction. He sells. Vince McMahon knows that. Triple H knows that. That's why he's still around. He had a fucking great SummerSlam match this past year with Roman Reigns. But, yeah, Brock Lesnar, my number nine, aggressive. You feel him in the ring. The crowd respects him when he comes out. Just the promo aspect worked for me. I'd put him at nine for that.
Number nine for me, The Rock.
I like it.
The Rock might be higher on a lot of people's lists.
He's not on my list. I'm sorry.
I didn't grow up with The Rock.
True.
I started watching wrestling in 2002, 2003. That's when he quit wrestling. So, full time. So, I didn't grow up with The Rock.
Facts.
But I know of The Rock. I've watched The Rock, obviously, with the podcast. Watched a lot of The Rock. One of the best talkers of all time, bar none. We know that. But his in-ring leaves something to be desired for me.
Facts.
And also, he's a bit overexposed. In my opinion, might be a little bit overhyped. Mm-hmm. That being said, though, he is my number nine.
That's not bad. Okay, let me ask you this. Is Stone Cold in your top 10?
No.
Okay, he's not. Rock or Stone Cold is not in my list either. Like Adrian said, could you really sit and watch The Rock or Stone Cold in a 30-minute match? No, the hell you couldn't. Now, if they was talking for half the match, you could, because it's the entertainment aspect of it. So, this, once again, is our opinions. You might have your own list. I hope you do have your own list. But we're going to run you through ours. My number eight.
Eight.
Move on from Seth and Brock for my 9 and 10. Number eight, the phenomenal AJ Styles. Now, I watched TNA. You know, he was a young guy doing his thing over there. Won TNA championship. Came to WWE, did the same thing. Had a phenomenal debut with the Royal Rumble. My reasoning, multi-champion, different businesses. Promos aren't the best. They aren't the best. Mm-hmm. But great moveset makes up for it. His affiliation with the Bullet Club, that expands to I don't know how fucking far back. But, AJ Styles, my number eight, the phenomenal one.
Number eight for me, current guy, right now, he's at the top of his game, Sami Zayn.
I like it.
I've been watching Sami Zayn since he debuted in NXT. I went back, I've seen a few of his ROH matches as well. But talk about someone who's handed something and can run with it. A year ago, if he would have said Sami Zayn's going to be a part of the Bloodlines, you'll follow him around, you wouldn't have thought too much of it. He's become the most entertaining act on television.
Oh, yeah.
Bar none. In ring, he's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Is he in the same shape he used to be? I don't know. He's been wearing a t-shirt for the past year and a half.
Yeah.
But he can go. He can be the babyface. He can be the heel.
He can be
the tweener. On the mic, he can do everything.
Second most important member of Bloodline. Probably first. I mean, if you throw Roman and him up there, I mean
really, who would you rather see?
That's debatable.
So, Sami Uso is easily.
I like it.
My number eight.
I like it. Number seven for Mr. Tay. Great Kurt Perk Angle. I put him at number seven. Great wrestler. One of the greatest technicians out there. Olympic gold medalist. The crowd respects him. He gets you suck chants from here to fucking Tanzania. Promos are nice. Multi-champion. Wrestled with a broke freaking neck. Comes out sprays the fucking corporate coalition, whatever you want to call it, with a milk truck. Freaking Big Show drops him off a 30-foot balcony. He's bleeding out the back of his head. I can go on for days watching Kurt Angle for a long time. Entrance, everything. The You Suck Chance, his sales matches are good. Does a fucking moonsault off the top of a steel cage. And WWE and TNA misses both times. You can't ask for much out of this man. Kurt Angle, my number seven.
My number seven. First of all, I want to say, that's a great pick. You'll see him later on my list. Okay. Number seven for me, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, the showstopper, the main event, the icon. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Shawn Michaels in the 90s was fine. Mm-hmm. When he came back, talking nothing but bangers.
Oh, yeah.
Every match was a banger. Taker twice. Cena.
Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin. Kurt Angle.
Elimination
great
Chamber.
Matches.
Yeah.
Can talk on the mic. He can be a great heel. Mm-hmm. He can be a dick heel. He can be a disgusting, yeah. You know, like he's sucking a dick type of dude. He can do a lot. I don't know why I had to mimic it. This is a podcast. But I feel like if you see the gif in your mind.
Yeah.
He can be any facet of wrestler. Mm-hmm. And he does it perfectly. There's a reason why they call him the main event, the icon, the showstopper. How many motherfuckers are doing super kicks now?
Everybody.
Because they saw Shawn Michaels do it.
Everybody.
Shawn Michaels, my number seven.
I'll just keep this short and sweet. Shawn Michaels, my number six.
So okay.
We got pretty close on that one. Like he said, he gave it a whole rundown. I'm not going to go through it again.
Yeah. We'll just pretend like the whole dick thing didn't happen.
Freaking DX, all the way back to matches with freaking Razor Ramon. He kicks a guy in the hallway named Todd for no reason. Papers fly all over the place. Shawn Michaels, my number six.
My number six, Bryan Danielson.
Okay.
Bell to bell, there are very few today that can do it like him. If we excuse his shitty music now, mm-hmm. He went from NXT nobody, fucking quote unquote indie darling, mm-hmm. Treated him like shit, lost every match he was in.
Freaking Miz used to bully him as his mentor.
Then he choked out fucking Justin Roberts, mm-hmm. Gets fired, comes back at SummerSlam, has his big storyline with The Miz, wins the United States Championship, builds himself up, becomes a heel after losing in 18 seconds to Sheamus. He's making out with AJ Lee and the Bellas, first of all. Let's point that out there as well. And Gail Kim, actually. After that, he goes on from that to doing the no, and then doing the yes, and then he finally gets his first World Heavyweight Championship after beating The Big Show, mm-hmm. Holds it for a little bit, has this weird feud with Kane, John Cena, CM Punk, a bunch of shit's going down, and then we get the Yes Movement. A movement that literally brought people back to wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest WrestleMania main events of all time, WrestleMania 30. One of the greatest moments. Had a stellar career. Had to retire for a little bit. Honestly, if he hadn't had to retire, he'd probably be higher up my list. Uh-huh. But we got factored in the fact that he didn't wrestle for a solid few years.
It's respectable.
Came back. Went on a hell of a run. He was a part of Kofi Mania. Give the man credit for that. Left WWE. Goes to AEW. Proceeds to put on banger-ass matches with Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page. Now he's in the Blackpool Combat Club. For now, I got to give the man his flowers. He's number six for me. One of the best in-ring technicians there is.
All right. Bryan Danielson, number six. My number five. It's kind of where we get to nitty-gritty, and it's where I expect you people to, you know, have some comments about this number five. Like I said, won't be the best, won't be the worst. My number five, the Dead Man, The Undertaker. This bastard has been doing it since the 90s, late 80s. He goes from Taker with Paul Bearer, fucking the Dead Man Undertaker. When you hear that gong, you shit your brick. Leaves, come back, 02. Keep rolling, making badass Undertaker. Probably one of my best Undertakers. He fucking dies again. In a damn buried alive match, comes back again. Undertaker, he's a great WrestleMania streaks. It tells it for itself. Great promo, crowd respects him. Legendary moveset. I mean, who don't know the what's the whole top rope thing, walking the
old school.
Yeah, the old school shit. The Tombstone Power Driver, and we can't forget the move that they banned, the Last Ride. Like, who remembers when he grabbed Funaki, his fucking ponytail, jacks him up 10 feet in the air, and proceeds to kill him straight down to earth? Undertaker is my number five.
Number five for me, Kurt Angle. Okay, okay. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. Nothing but bangers. Honestly, I say the same thing about Bryan Danielson, Bell to Bell.
Bell to Bell.
Very few as great as him.
Multi-company, too. Bell to Bell.
Spent longer time in TNA than he did WWE. And, I mean, his work in TNA is insane. I mean, dude was doing some wild shit.
Started his own faction with Main Event Mafia. You know, Sting, Booker T.
Team Angle.
Yeah, Team Angle, WWE. I mean, he put some bangers.
Kurt Angle, my number five.
Number four. So we start with the boys from the men right here. Sorry, Dead Man. I didn't mean to throw no shade at you right there. But
yeah, you did. You definitely did.
Randy Orton. We're going to start this list off right. Ooh. Number four, Randy Orton, multi-champion. Great heel. Super disrespectful heel. Great promo. I could go on. Factions. Him and Evolution. Him and young Cody Rhodes. Ted DiBiase Jr.
Legacy.
Yeah, Legacy. Fuck him and Riddle. I could go on. I really could. He punted your favorite legend in the head. Vince McMahon, Mick Foley, fucking Rowdy Rod Piper, Ricky Steamboat. I had great
John
matches.
John Cena's dad.
John Cena's dad, his mom. Triple H comes to his house, throws him out the front fucking living room. Randy Orton, he's my number four.
My number four. This might give me some heat now. Chris Benoit. Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
He killed his family. Right.
I mean, who don't?
I mean, yeah. And normally killing your family, that just drops you down two spots in my book.
And third world country, it promotes you to a
president. Yeah. In America, promotes you to the president. But when he is bell to bell, I've said this before, bell to bell, he makes it look so real. His intensity, unmatched. One of the greatest. Despite like all the shit he did, he is truly one of the greatest in the ring. I mean, you can name countless matches.
Yeah.
Him and Jericho, him and Edge, him and Triple H and Shawn Michaels, him and Kurt Angle, him and Randy. So many people, him and Eddie.
Facts.
You know, he is one of the greatest of all time, despite the fact that he's a shit human being. Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit, shit, him and me. Way to end your argument. Great wrestler, shit, him and me. Okay.
You said, honestly, with like two or three people on my list, you'd probably say great wrestler, shit, him and me.
Oh, man. Number three. I was going to switch it up for the sake of this list, but you know what? I love you guys. Fuck you guys. I'm going. Number three, Y2J, Christopher Jericho.
Okay.
Multi-company performer. One of the first, I believe, if not the first, multi-champion in WWE.
First undisputed champion of all time, yeah.
Yeah. Could be a heel. Great heel. Could be a face. Not as good as a face, but better. But
decent enough.
Yeah, decent enough. Way better heel. Lovely moveset. I mean, the Wild Jericho, the edited Lion Tamer, the Lion Salt, Code Breaker, multiple power bomb.
Say Juice Effect. That shit sucks.
I wasn't thinking that. The triangle drop kick off the apron. I mean, I go on for days. Now he's at AEW. He's doing his thing. He's older, later days, doing his thing. He has the Judas theme song. Crowd loves it. It's fucking worldwide known. Him and his band, Fozzy, I believe it's called. So, yeah, Chris Jericho cracks the bronze medal for Team Tay.
All right. I'm going to have to give it to number three, Randall Kenneth Orton.
All right, I like it.
Same reasons you said, man. He is great. He pointed out in an interview, he said the most important thing a wrestler can do is the little things, the little tiny things. He does them. He does every single one of them. Some great matches. Hope he comes back sometime soon. Randy Orton is my number three.
All right, that's where we get some heat drawn to Team Tay right here. I feel like I had a pretty okay loose so far. Number two, my number two,
Ryback.
Close enough. Rob Van Dam.
Okay. Now,
what you're thinking? He can't cut a promo for shit. True. But this man moveset expands from here to Saturn. Robert Van Dam, I believe, if not the first ECW WWE champion with assist of Edge, but he is a good champion. And if you watch a little bio documentary, whatever the fuck you want to call him about him, Mr. Man actually loved RVD being a ECW champion, but he was so high off his ass majority of the time, they had to take away from him. So if the man wasn't a fucking weed head, he could have been one of the best ECW champions. But it's a great high flyer, one of the best frog splash there is. Him, Eddie, Montez, I can go on for days.
Logan Paul.
RVD has a fucking great frog splash, great moveset. He can put him in any type of match. He's going to perform hardcore, ladder. It don't matter. Fox anywhere, RVD.
I've never seen a bad RVD match.
Me either. So he's my number two. I know you can put anybody else at your number two. It's a bunch of superstars out there. I'm not going to go down the list. But RVD, number two for me. Don't like it, fuck you.
I feel like I know you're number one because your number one is probably my number two. John Felix Anthony Cena.
Yes!
The Peacemaker. Dude, John Cena has spanned my entire childhood into my adulthood. That's what we talk about, a long-reaching effect. I was fucking 5 years old my first John Cena match I saw. The last time I saw a John Cena match, I was fucking 22, 23 years old. I was 18 years. 18 years.
16-time world champion.
He got my ass for 18 years. John fucking Cena. I have a shirt I got at a show when I was 8 years old. A John Cena shirt in my closet. I know you're thinking, Adrian, does it still fit you? You're fucking right. It still fits me. I haven't grown since I was 8 years old. You sorry sacks of shit. And here's the deal. I will wear that shirt proudly. I liked John Cena before it was cool to like John Cena. Mm-hmm. All you lame-ass middle-aged moms out here typing up on Facebook, oh, John Cena looks really handsome in this new movie. Guess what? I've been watching him since he was the fucking Doctor of Thuganomics, which, by the way, that right there is enough to make the list saying shit that you couldn't say on TV. Over here calling people retarded and fat and telling Rey Mysterio to suck your dick. And Rey Mysterio was like, okay. And John was like, hey, what the fuck? Crazy stuff. He also smacked Stephanie McMahon's ass on live television.
Yep.
He slept with Mickey James. He slept with Nikki Bella. I think he slept with Kelly Kelly. He's probably ran through half that locker room.
Wouldn't doubt it.
John Cena is the fucking GOAT. Mm-hmm. Enough said.
My number one, just to sprinkle with Adrian added, John Cena, Dr. Thuganomics, real fucking doctor, by the way. Ruthless aggression, smacks dog shit out of Kurt Angle. I mean, what more can you ask for? We hate Cena. Cena sucks. Let's go, Cena. Cena. Middle-aged men. Middle-aged men who know wrestling is faker than a fucking $2 bill are sitting here getting their jocks riled up to say John Cena sucks while a bunch of kids on the other side of the room who got let out of school early love John Cena. Enough of the wrestling aspect. Let's take a step out into the public. Now, his movies aren't the fucking best. His acting isn't maybe Fast and Furious, probably his best banger. All the other little kiddie shit. Oh, okay, it's mid. But this man walks around. This man, John Cena, walks around. The freaking kids are about to die on their deathbed. What is your only wish? You get a wish. And what would you want to do on your deathbed? Meet John Cena. You know how many Make-A-Wish kids have wanted to meet John Cena? He takes time out of his busy fucking schedule to meet up with a kid. A kid. We're talking about when the last time you seen The Rock? on the picture of a make a wish foundation. I tell you why you ain't see him, because he's a busy fucker. John Cena's a busy fucker too, but guess what? At the end of the day, he pays his dues to people that made him John Cena possible.
I got a statistic for you, Tay.
And he goes to meet these kids.
650 kids that are dead now have said, you know what? I don't want to see my mom again. I don't want to see the president. I don't want a new bicycle. Hell, I don't want head from the finest baddie in the nursery. I want to see John fucking Cena. I want to see the man you can't see, mom. I want him to come in here with his multicolored fucking t-shirts and his armbands. And you know what I want? To say hi to me. Because I'm getting ready to die of a fucking childhood brain cancer.
And that's all it takes sometimes, man. Just seeing you're a superhero, or to them, their hero. That's all it takes. So John Cena, my number one, for all the reasons we just put in there, Adrian's minds combined, John Cena. You're number one on the no DQ list for Team Tay, buddy. Love you.
And my number one, Eddie Guerrero, baby. Look, Eddie Guerrero is a wrestler. I wear that motherfucker's t-shirts out recreationally. People say, oh, you wear an Eddie Guerrero? Absolutely fucking right. I don't want an Eddie Guerrero t-shirt. The only Spanish I know is from Eddie Guerrero. Viva la raza, puta, and ese. That's the Spanish I know because of Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero has fucking banger ass matches. He lies, he cheats, he steals, and he fucking makes you love him when he does it. I could go on for hours about Eddie Guerrero, but I only have 3 minutes and 30 fucking seconds. So I'm going to tell you this right now. I'll make it real, real, real simple for you. Get on the fucking Peacock or the network if you're in England or fucking France or fucking Spain. You get out there and you watch. Just you type in Eddie Guerrero and you just watch one match. It doesn't matter which one. It doesn't fucking matter. Luther Reigns. Fucking Rey Mysterio, Bobby Lashley, Mr. Kennedy. Doesn't fucking matter. You watch any of his matches and you will enjoy it. You will enjoy it. Because no one has charisma in the ring like Eddie Guerrero. No one can smack someone in the face with a fucking steel chair. Look at the camera. Smile. And everybody's like, I like that guy. He could stab Mysterio in the fucking face with a rusty spoon, shrug his shoulders, do a little shake, and pin him. And you know what they're going to say? Ah, that's classic Eddie, because he's that fucking good. He is not just number one in my list, but number one in my wrestling heart. And if you disagree, you're a fucking bitch. Thank you.
Eddie Guerrero. I'll just touch on it a little bit here. The man, he sells. He could be a great heel with the whole Poppy gimmick. Be a great face. Like Aries said, he could fucking bang a chair on the mat.
He put custody papers in a ladder match. Who else has done it? No one. Fuck you.
Lie, cheat, way, and steal way through a match. Fucking JBL busts his head wide open. He's gushing blood. You're like, damn, JBL just killed this man. No, he's perfectly fine. He goes up and says a fucking five-star frog splash and beats JBL. Eddie Guerrero is a legend. How many guys in the back, just me, off my opinion. Hey, you got a match with Eddie. I bet your fucking eyes light up like a Christmas tree. You know, you get to come out to that ring, thousands of fans screaming in the back of that damn lowrider, hitting switches with that lie and cheat and steal music in the background. One of the best entrances of all time, Eddie Guerrero, number one.
This has been our first ever top 10 for the No Disqualifications podcast. And like MJF once said, thank you.
Fuck you.
And goodbye.